And welcome to the Appy Hour.
The always fun,
semi-informative,
always relevant,
and slightly irreverent
Appy Hour talk show presented by App Growth Summit.
So whether you're on your way to work,
winding down after work,
or you're bored at work,
pop in an episode and take a quick shot of the Appy Hour.
Whoop whoop. All right. I am Louis Tenge, the managing director, founder, and other things of App Growth Summit and the Appy Hour here. And my co-hostess with the mostest is Kaylani Ampuch Curtis,
mm-hmm.
who is the marketing specialist here at App Growth Summit.
Yes, I am. And we aren't alone. We are joined by our amazing guest, the spectacular Olivia Smith, Director of Strategy and Operations at Nike.
Hey, Olivia.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. Olivia is also a member of something else we're doing here.
Yes, she is. Olivia is also the Los Angeles chapter president of Speak Her. She is amazing and spoke at our Speak Her Summit, I believe.
So many summits she spoke at.
Oh, and she was our keynote for AGS LA 2021.
She's truly achieved VIP status, but
she is.
We keep talking about her. Let's talk with her.
Well, I'm happy to be president of something, you know. Put that on my resume, president of something. That's great.
And you actually referred Kaylani to us. So you're like president of Kaylani's tenureship here.
Yes, she is. Olivia was my manager back when I first started in mobile at Hop Skip Drive.
All those years ago?
Yes.
All those years ago.
When times were much simpler.
Yeah. So Kaylani, go ahead. Go start it off.
Awesome. So after a long day of being the head Olivia in charge at Nike, what's the drink you like to wind down with?
I'm definitely a cosmopolitan person. So if I don't feel like making them myself, I've started finding the ones that are like either already bottled or already canned. And I'm just trying all of those. So when 5 o'clock or, you know, 3 o'clock rolls around, depending on the day, that is the thing I'm going to... Yeah. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Right.
So that's the first thing I go for.
Awesome. So tell us something about yourself that most people wouldn't know and wouldn't know from looking at your LinkedIn.
Okay, that's a good one. I was homeschooled my entire life. I only went to like preschool or something like that because my family moved around a lot. And through that, I graduated high school at 16. Then I dropped out of college at 18. And in, when people ask me, hey, you going to go back? I'm like, absolutely not. I do not want to sit in a classroom. So although I do like learning, I do not like sitting in a classroom. I would rather learn my own way. So I think that's one thing that people don't automatically know about me unless they have a conversation with me over a cosmopolitan, because I don't know how they come out.
And so do you not have a college degree or did you go back and...
No, no college degree, no intent of going back to get it. I found that working within mobile, a lot of what we do, or just in marketing in general, a lot of what we do is really just learned on the job. And I think what has proven to be more valuable to me is getting certifications or just learning from the best. So how can I take all of these things that I'm learning and just apply them to my career? And it seems to be the seems to have worked out so far. We'll see if that changes anytime soon.
You know, we have something in common then. I went to college for guess how long?
One semester.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I went for one semester, dropped out to start my first business. And here I am. I survived. So far.
So far.
It's hilarious that both of my managers, both Olivia and Louis, are both college dropouts and I am still in college.
For now. We'll work on that.
For now.
Kidding. kidding. Stay in school, kids. Unless you want to be successful in mobile apps and conferences.
Oh, yeah. But I've met so many people in this space since I've started that went to school and got degrees and things that have nothing to do with what they're doing now. And so I always think it's really interesting. There's a good mix of people with different experiences in the mobile space.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a boss that had a degree in marketing. Like I've worked for a lot of different people. And I think everyone has never had a degree in marketing. I've worked for someone with psychology background, straight business background. I even had a boss who had a degree in engineering and just chose a totally different path. So it just really depends on what you're looking to do. Piece of paper is useful in some ways.
What was your major?
My major was international business with a minor in marketing. So I was determined that I was going to be a global marketing person and get to travel the world and work with a lot of different businesses, but discovered that I would have to learn a language and also just do a lot of stuff that I just didn't want to do. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. So dropped out, got a job.
But now working at Nike, Valiant Labs and everything, you're still on a global scale.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you want to talk at an App Growth Summit that's not in America, now you're an international speaker.
Look at that.
See? This turns right around.
See? Your goals have been achieved. Look at that. The top of the mountain.
Exactly.
So if you weren't an app growth expert, what would be your chosen profession outside of mobile?
It's a good one. I would say it would probably... I would probably be a lawyer, even though I know that it takes a lot of skill.
Counterintuitive to what you just said.
Yeah, totally counterintuitive.
Actually, you're in California, right? I think, I could be wrong. Someone will correct me, but I think you don't have to study for, I mean, you can study for the bar, but I don't think you need like college, right? Because Kim Kardashian's like a lawyer.
You can do an apprenticeship. I only know this solely because of Kim Kardashian.
There you go.
It's very true. Yeah, you can take the bar as long as you study for it. You can take the bar with the stipulation of having to do an apprenticeship, but you can do it before or after too. So if you pass it, even better. But I think that was something I wanted to do just because of the lawyers that I saw growing up. They worked in a variety of different spaces. Like even one of my close friends at my job now is our lawyer that we work with. And he's like, I've worked anywhere from, you know, I worked at Disney, you know, I work at Nike. It's like, I've been able to experience so many things. So I think that wanting to experience all those different things kind of played into that. But again, the school part just wasn't going to happen. So.
I'm with that or not with that, I guess, whichever one is correct. Well, there's so much to know about you, but since this is the happy hour and we claim to be semi-informative, we should at least ask you to be informative while we are semi.
Mm-hmm.
So some things that we know that you've spoken on and that you're really big about is like the importance of branding and retention and community. So while diving in, I guess I'll just set it up really quick by just a quick pivot to say, now that IDFA is long deprecated, let's talk about the importance of brand. What's your philosophy there with how brand could be used in modern acquisition?
One thing that I've been really researching and trying to build a greater learning on is, especially with my team, is like the importance of brand, especially right now. You know, we live in a super digital age, given the climate, all the IDFA stuff, you know, how I feel brands are going to move forward in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years are the brands that have like a very strong connection with their key consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really placing a lot of importance on developing a brand. No matter what stage your company might be in, brand development is ongoing. So, you know, with my team, we work on a lot of different things, but a big part of what we work on is branding. And so we're constantly looking at like, what is our brand message? How does our brand need to really hit with our key audience? And since we are still dealing with the digital world, it's really important that we nail that early on. So we are, I don't want to say constantly pivoting, because that may sound like we're making a lot of changes, but we're constantly examining what our brand is saying and how that really fits into the current climate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with IDFA, again, going back to brands that will really succeed, seen a couple of people on LinkedIn kind of doing roll-ups of all of the messages that apps are putting out to opt into advertising tracking. And the ones that stand out to me the most are the ones that have a very strong brand and are staying really consistent with that brand message. Because if they've been building that brand message all this time, when their member or subscriber gets this message, they're going to be able to, they've built that trust to where someone will opt in. And I think if you don't have that and you're not doing that, you know, this IDFA thing could be a killer for you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that that's something that apps should have been doing long time ago. Some have, obviously. You know, I should say many have, obviously, but some are, you know, a little behind. What about for something like games? Do you think that branding is a little bit different from, like, say, like a Nike to like a game? Like, how can a game take advantage of some of these branding ideas?
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed with a lot of games really comes down to the brand that I see in their advertising versus their actual app.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I get a lot of different ads for games. I've even opted into one recently, but I don't remember the exact app, but I think it was like a puzzle app or something like that. I saw the ad for it. I was like, oh, it's exactly what I want to be doing after work, right? Doing this puzzle. And I downloaded the app while I'm drinking my Cosmopolitan, of course. I downloaded the app, and the app looked nothing like the mock-up that was in the ad. That was like a total turnoff for me. And thinking about that from like an app marketer perspective, I'm like, the ball was completely dropped here. Like, I don't know who thought of this ad or how this, I don't know who did this, but it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where brand comes into play, is like, you want to have a consistent message from ad to app. And if the same thing isn't reflected that brought your customer in, you're going to lose them right away. And I think that's like a general practice of app marketing in itself. But if your product is not something that has like a website or a larger web presence for, you know, beyond like the download page or whatever it might be, that is where your brand has to be maximized, is within that experience that the consumer is having through the ad. Because I deleted the app right after that. Like, I didn't even, you know, give it a chance at that point. So I was like, this is not what I downloaded.
Yeah, you're like a day zero churn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like when brands feel the need to create ads that aren't representative of what their product is, that's a big red flag that they need to look at their product, because they're operating and advertising in a space that is so oversaturated. People are getting ad fatigue all the time. If an ad doesn't grab your attention, you don't even acknowledge that you've seen it. And what really hooks people in and keeps you having users is the quality of your product. People fall in love with your product, not the ad. That's what keeps them around. And ads that don't represent what the product is are companies that are seeing large amounts of churn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even now with everything around IDFA, that's going to be an even bigger thing that they'll need to pay attention to.
Yeah, it's like those horrible website ads that we all know about that have multiple squares on them. And it's like, you won't believe the third one. And then you click it and it's like, what did I do? And then you open up a bunch of pop-up windows. And that's the world we hopefully will not be going towards.
Never got my free iPhone. So
what?
Still waiting.
What? That's a travesty. So with the obviously a strong brand message, a strong, attractive ad that is consistent with in-app experience and the value proposition that's been given will lead to greater retention. So then once they've retained, do you have any ideas for how they can keep them engaged through maybe a community or other efforts?
It really depends on the product that you have and the different type of app that you're running. But I think we're going to see community and community functions within apps take a huge jump, both because, again, we're living in the super digital world. People aren't, you know, apt to be going out as much. I don't think that's going to change for a while. And I think how you build in community is important, and it really will play off of what your audience wants and the type of community that they really thrive off of. So, you know, I work within kind of the wellness space, and we are thinking about, you know, if everyone is participating in wellness alone at home, how can they jump in with someone else who might be on the same journey that they are? And this is something I'm exploring through a side project that I'm working on. And I think it's really important to think about how community drives retention. And especially within the space that we're working with, we're finding that community also drives motivation. And I think motivation is another part of retention that isn't always thought about. Like, how do you, through retention, how are you motivating the person to come back to your service, right? Like, it's not just how do I keep them in the app? It's like, how are you actually making them want to come to the app? And I think that can be applied through gaming, through all these different apps to really say, oh, okay, well, if I'm motivating them to come back, these are the things, it's kind of like working backwards. Like, these are the things I can help to actually retain them once I've motivated them to come back. I often think of motivation like those, like if I have a game on my phone and I get that push notification, it's like, your person just completed their last mission. I'm like, oh, great. I don't remember what I did. Let me go back in. And then I'm like hooked into the game because there was all these other steps that came after that. So I think how community is applied is going to be big. I see a lot of brands, even on the B2B side that aren't as app heavy, that are working in community through content and really like revamping how they approach content. And instead of it just being like blog posts, it's more of like an interactive discussion or something like that. And even building in, you know, chatbots and all these things that we were really looking at like a couple years ago, but now are even more relevant because that's just what will support the team and also support the consumer. So I think there's a lot of things that you can build into community, and it's really just up to how your subscribers will respond to it. And that takes a lot of research.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything there. I think that we've heard far too long that everything was all about user acquisition for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, because if you just get a lot of funding and you feel you have a good product, or you just have an MVP and you need to test it out and see like how it's performing, obviously you need a large sample size of users. But then I think so many apps have fallen into the trap of, oh, let's just acquire users, get up to scale quickly, and then let's just sell it. And then it's someone else's problem. And our others are like, oh, I never really thought what comes next. And one of those things was like Instagram, for example, where they just got up to scale, had no monetization strategy, and lucky enough, they just sold to Facebook, and boom, they walked away. But now the app's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, user acquisition, I think we're going to see a big change. I think user acquisition is still really important, but where the true acquisition comes is how you are motivating and retaining those people to come back to your app. Because something that we've seen is that if we are bringing people back and we are also motivating them to do different things within the app, they are referring more people and doing like the word of mouth marketing. And that is completely unincentivized. Like, we don't have a referral program or anything on our platform. And I think that is something that brands are going to start focusing more on, is that concept, because those people that they refer and those people that are doing the referring are going to be way more valuable than someone that they acquire for, you know, whatever their CPA is. You know, most brands run around anywhere from $20 to $45. And then there's brands that are much higher than that, but they're going to figure out that that's going to be more valuable than acquiring something new. So,
Definitely. All right. So let's wrap up. And before you go, you had a really good dad joke that you shared.
Oh boy.
Do you remember it? No one remembers their dad jokes.
Yes, I do remember it.
Calendar.
Yes. I'm keeping my eye on the calendar. Why? Because its days are numbered. That is my dad joke.
It's pretty solid, but I think I have you beat. I have yet to have interviewed somebody for the Appy Hour that I think can keep up to par with me in my dad joke game. I know you're a huge fan of Prince.
Oh boy.
As well as Meghan and Harry. So let's do this one. What is Prince Harry's official title now that he's not a working royal?
Oh man, that's a good one. I don't know.
The Harry formerly known as Prince. There you go. Beat that. Well, thanks for joining us on the Appy Hour, Olivia. We have a special announcement, and we're going to invite somebody back that you guys heard earlier in the season. And now, guess who's back? It's Laura Shack.
Guess who's back? It's Laura Shack.
Yes.
From Tatted, if you remember her from the last episode. If not, well, after we're done with this next segment, you can go back and listen.
You won't want to miss out on the amazing puns that came out in that episode. So,
hey, Laura, welcome back.
Thanks so much. So many amazing puns. Love those puns.
So why are we all here together? We still have Olivia. We brought Laura back. It's because we are very happy and proud to announce, as we mentioned in Olivia's podcast interview that we just did, how she is the LA chapter president, and she's also going to be...
Olivia will be joining me as my co-host for our new podcast brought to you by App Growth Summit, the speaker podcast. So Laura will be taking over for me. She'll be Louie's co-hostess with the mostest on the Appy Hour season 4. And Olivia and I will be speaking to women mobile mavens in tech, as well as other aspiring women, and empowering them with our new speaker podcast.
Great. And that is speakher.org. And you can go sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be the Speak Her podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super excited to bring some new exciting content to all of the women and any other people that want to listen, but really wanting to bring a really empowering message to women who are working in this space.
Yeah. And Olivia, you had actually wanted to do a podcast for a little while now that was something women centric. That's what Kehlani was saying. So we're like, hey, mm-hmm. why don't you just join Speak Her?
Yeah, definitely. That was going to be our ultimate plan, is have something centered around women. So it's all coming together. We are able to release this great idea and just have a good time, good talking time.
Absolutely.
Yes. I couldn't be more stoked for the upcoming speaker podcast, and really just the opportunity to hand the spotlight over to some incredible women in mobile and outside, potentially. You'll want to stay tuned.
Definitely.
Great. And this party is not over here. The App Hour will continue. We have Laura Shack, who's here as well. Hey, Laura.
Hey, what's up? Kehlani, I mean, big shoes to fill here. You know, I'm a little nervous. You know, got to get those puns rolling. I'll see what other jokes I can come up with, you know.
Yeah, we'll figure out something to keep it. It'll still be fun, and it'll be, you know, still semi-informative, but a slightly more informative now that we have Laura joining us. You know, we got to bring even more big brains in here. Kehlani is smart, but she's going to leave us to join Olivia. So, Laura, it's all on you. The baton has been passed.
I know. I'll do
my gosh. It's the sisterhood of the traveling mics.
Awesome. So, everyone, thank you very much for checking out our season 3 of the Appy Hour. If you missed any episodes, they're all on our website, appyhourpodcast.com. Or, you know, just go to appgrowthsummit.com. It's right there on the homepage. And we will see you all next season.
All right. Bye.
Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks for taking the journey with us, and we hope you found it exactly as advertised, where it was mostly fun and entertaining, but we did manage to get in a little tech talk in there as well, so you can kind of tell your managers that this was actually time spent doing work stuff. Trust me, we won't tell on you. Please subscribe so you can get notifications every time we release an episode, and please head on over to appgrowthsummit.com. Let us know what you thought, or let us know if you'd like to be a guest in a future episode, or recommend the guest. That would be absolutely amazing. Please tell all your friends and colleagues about the Appy Hour, and be sure to have lots of laughs until the next episode.